Pharisee, I preach the gospel. I follow the apostles, you follow Pentecostals. You're not reformed, so that's a risk. I believe the 5 points like an asterisk. I repent, but you're in sin still. I spit rhymes and Fernando does a windmill.
Here we go, and welcome to another episode of SoloCast. It's your boy, Pastor Chris Hernandez, and I'm with my man, Jimmy De Los Santos.
How you doing, Pastor Chris?
And Pastor Henry Knox.
What's up, what's up? Hey, what's up, Pastor Chris? What's going on, people?
Not much, man. 1 week till Turkey Day, bro. Y'all ready?
Exactly, yeah. 1 week. Exactly 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Well, when this episode drops, it'll be two days.
Yeah. So we're doing this midweek instead of Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Ain't that, well, I don't know what we got going on Saturday. We can do this on Saturday morning. I don't know if we want to tell the world all about that. But, no. You know, it's just we're going to be busy on Saturday, so we're just going to do this on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Our church knows what we're doing, though.
Yeah, so you were usually...
Well, we are having a meeting because of the fact that, you know, some people are on the stuffing side and some people are on the dressing side. So let's go ahead and solve this now. Let's take it to a vote. We're going to have a church vote, like stuffing or dressing.
Can't we have both, man? Can't we just get along? Where's their division in the church?
I've got to vote on everything, so...
Hey, you usually ask what's new, Pastor Chris. You ask us what's new. Now, I just want to let you know, I was cleaning up my closet, and I found about 2,600 ballots in there from Michigan. So I just, you know, I guess I better send these in, man. Somebody
who are they for, Trump or Biden?
Oh, there's a little mix, man. There's a little mix.
Where's Eric Snowden when you need him?
Wow, I can't believe they keep on finding ballots, man.
Oh, man.
That's already two counties that I heard of that have found ballots that were outstanding, and it makes a little bit of a difference. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference, but that's what's new, man.
You know, I sit on the fact of, you know, I don't care what they do. You know, I mean, I don't really, you know, care too much to a degree. Like, I'm like, you know, fawning over, you know, the winner or whatever. But what I do care about is making sure that things are done justly. I think that we have a biblical precedent. So, right. You know, just like Jimmy just said, like, even if it doesn't make a difference in terms of the winner, you know, this needs to be exposed, and all those who are involved, or if there is a cabal or whatever, I think that we need to pursue it just to be able to pursue justice. So that way in the future, we can make sure that, you know, the collective republic can do a voting process justly.
Right.
I mean, we went through, you know, 3.5 years of Russia. I mean, surely we can spend a couple dollars to investigate.
So, yeah. You know, here's the one thing. I got the feeling that it's going to go, you know, Biden's way. And so, you know, all I'm doing is waiting for the day that it's official where I can go on, you know, all the social media platforms and just go say, you know, Biden is my president. I can't be like, I didn't vote for him. I didn't want him in office. But hey, he's the president of these United States. I can never say he's not my president. Like, right. The Never Trumpers. I mean, the Never Trumpers really got me 4 years ago. If he's president of the United States and you're a citizen, that's your president. That is your president. And so I'm going to say that he's my president. I didn't like it. I don't really think it's going to be a good thing. I'm hoping that what happens in Georgia with the Senate, with those things in January, turn out for the Republican side, because there needs to be a certain balance, and maybe just like keep a neutral thing for the next 4 years, and maybe we can survive till we can get Trump back in. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, I just want Biden to win so I can call out Marcus Rogers and Paula White as true heretics, false prophetic heretics. Wink.
Yeah, he did it.
Exactly right. Speaking of heretics and false prophets, false teachers. Yeah, so we wanted to devote an episode. You know, we talk a lot, guys. We talk a lot about false teaching. We call out error, or we expose error a lot on this podcast, but we thought it was important that we devote an episode distinguishing the two, right? Because there is a difference. At times we call out false teaching. At times we call out heretics, but often those two aren't one and the same. So we wanted to maybe spend a little time talking about that, because there might be some listeners out there that may feel that they are one and the same, or may not understand the difference. What is the difference between someone who's a heretic and someone who's just in error? So we wanted to spend a little time talking about that, since, you know, we do call out a lot of false teaching here on this episode. So I think it's important to kind of get that out the way, so our listeners can understand what we're talking about when we talk about false teachers or to that matter, heretics. But Jimmy, you got any definitions for me? What do we mean when we say heretic?
Well, I'm going to give you the definition for heresy. What's heresy? And it's a person. Well, I'll go to heretic in a minute. But right. Heresy is a belief or opinion contrary to orthodox religious doctrine. In parentheses, I would say especially Christian doctrine. There's a definition. I mean, there's a sentence here that's an example. This is a definition. I'm not exactly where I got this definition, but it says Jan Hus was burned for heresy. Mm-hmm. And see, this is one of those things, because we would actually look at Jan Hus as one of the earliest reformers before Martin Luther. And we would think that maybe he shouldn't have been burned for heresy, but he was burned by the Catholic Church. Now, when I give the definition of a heresy, that belief or opinion contrary to orthodox religious doctrine, a lot of people will say that just doesn't clear it up for me that much. So I got a few synonyms that I thought might help us out, right? Dissidence, dissension, nonconformity, unorthodoxy, skepticism, schism. Right. These are, I think, synonyms that help us. Separatism, sectarianism. And here's the thing. I think if you take the word heresy back to the Greek, back to its etymology, you'll see that the word actually means choose or choice. Right. And in this particular instance, when you talk about heretics, these are people that have made a choice against the well-known Christian doctrines that we believe in. But When we look at that, we also look at what you said. Sometimes people are heretics, and sometimes they're just in error. And so I wanted to also give us a definition for error, and that's pretty simple. It's a mistake, a wandering from the truth.
Yeah,
and that's pretty basic on the two definitions. And I think one of the questions that can one be in error and not be a heretic? I think the answer is yes, but that's why we are doing this episode, so we can kind of flesh out, you know, those that are in error versus those that are actual heretics.
Right. Pastor Henry, if I were to ask you, you know, what are some of the core doctrines that, you know, you can't mess with in Christianity, you know, and if you do mess with these doctrines, then you're pretty much drifting off towards heresy.
I think the core doctrine, I mean, just to sort of be frank, is all the core doctrines sort of revolve around Jesus. You know, we talk about the deity of Christ, meaning his godhood, his lordship. I don't think that you can deny Christ being God and still be a Christian, right? And, you know, God's going to sort of reveal that to you. When we talk about his virgin birth, I don't believe that you can deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you know, being conceived by the Holy Spirit himself and still be a Christian. And of course, you know, the nature of his glorious gospel, his mission was to call people to repentance and what the good news was. If you deny the good news, then you're denying the very Lord that brought the good news. So I would sort of put that in a sort of in a trinity within the trinity. If you were to deny those core things, then I would say, you know, then you're definitely a heretic. And you can do you can deny those core tenets, you know, by making a mistake. But that mistake, we have to distinguish that as heresy, because when you deny the gospel, the personhood of Christ, or his birth, which is associated with his personhood, I don't think that you can sort of still be a Christian or still be labeled a Christian after you've done either one of those.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think one place we can go, and we mentioned it here before on the show, is the Nicene Creed. You know, it kind of lays out the doctrine of the Trinity. It lays down the doctrine of who Christ is as the Son right. of God and the Holy Spirit and so forth. And, you know, if you kind of waver from those things, and you'll see that a lot of these, you know, false religions, that's what they do. They waver with who Christ is. You know, he's not the Son of God. They'll say that he's not God or he's not man, one of the two. They'll deny his divinity, or they'll deny some core doctrine of the Holy Spirit or something like that. So, yeah. You know, you go there to the Nicene Creed, and if you see some people that are kind of straying away from that, then yeah, you're pretty much you're surrounded by some heresy. And I think one of the hard things is that sometimes they can be both. They can be a false teacher and a heretic, or they can just be a false teacher and not a heretic.
Yeah.
So sometimes you gotta distinguish between the two. Let me just lay out a verse here, 2 Peter 2:1, where it says, But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So we see even early on in the church, when the church was developing, there were already false teachers, there were already heretics, and some had, as we can see here, some had deceptive motives, destructive motives. They wanted to come in and destroy the church. There were messengers from Satan. They had, ill intentions. But on the other hand, when we talk about false teachers or those that are in error, those teachers that may be just teaching falsely, that's another thing. Jimmy, you want to talk a little bit more about that?
I can see a few of the things that we see today. Let's just talk about where we came from. Pentecostalism, right? Was it last week or the week before when we talked about, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Oneness Pentecostals. Now, see, the Oneness Pentecostal is going to deny the Trinity, which is one of our primary Christian doctrines that we would look at and say, you can't look at God as not Trinity and still be right, still be orthodox. Mm-hmm. And so while there's Pentecostals out there that believe in the Trinity of God, those guys, while we would consider some of their handling of the spiritual gifts to be in error, we would still see them as somewhat orthodox because they believe in a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They would baptize in that way. They believe in those things. But then you look at the other side of that, and those Oneness Pentecostals, when they get to the place where they deny the Trinity, you moved into the area of heretic.
Right.
Right. And so this is a distinction that we would make between some of those that are in error versus some of those that are actual heretics. And right. I believe that there are some of those people, that those charismatics that don't have the ill intention.
Right.
I, when it comes to Oneness Pentecostals, in their mind, I don't think that they think that they're heretics. Yet when you tell them something like this, they have to come from that place to see themselves. I can't just go up to one and put my finger in his face and say, you're a heretic for not believing the Trinity. That's not going to win him to the true and living God.
Right.
And so it's got to be handled with grace, but at the same time, that's one of the examples. There's plenty of them out there.
Yeah, Satan has a veil over their eyes, right? They can't see the truth, and they're stuck in their error. But I think one thing when we talk about false teachers, and we throw that out a lot, it's kind of difficult sometimes, because I think there's some false teachers, some teachers that we would say, or preachers that would say they're false teachers, but I don't know if we can say they're also heretics. Let's just throw one out that we talk about a lot: prosperity gospel preachers. Mm-hmm. Can we say that all prosperity gospel preachers are heretics? You probably got to take that on a case-by-case basis, because I think a lot of the famous, prosperity teachers, the ones that come on TBN, are the ones that you'd see in your local Christian bookstore. I don't think they deny any of the core tenets of the faith. They're pretty orthodox in their understanding of Christ and the Trinity and so forth. But yet we feel that prosperity gospel is a grave error. That's where we get into kind of the messiness of it all.
Yeah, and this is where the prosperity gospel preacher and the word of faith doctrine or belief kind of overlaps. Now, there are some word of faith brothers that I believe are in grave error, right? But right. They would affirm the Trinity. They would affirm Christ as God. They would separate the unique persons of God. They would, do all the things that we think about, right? They would do that. But there is an other side to that I would put them in the heretical category when they start elevating man to be God. When you talk about the little gods doctrine, we are little gods. God made us in his image. Therefore, we are gods ourselves. They go to Psalms. They go to, of course, the other scripture, and they try to prove that totally out of context. But there are doctrines built around the little gods doctrine. They can speak things into existence. And so when you elevate man to a status of Elohim, to a status of God, then I think that's when you step out of error territory and you step into heresy.
Well, that's interesting. I think about what you're saying there, Pastor Henry, and I think about the different prosperity preachers that we know about. Here's an example, and I throw this at you guys to ask you the question: error or heresy? This is kind of a thing I would ask. Joel Osteen.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Now, I want to call him a heretic, right? I want to.
Yeah.
But here's the issue that I find within myself is that, does he even preach the gospel?
Right.
Yeah. Does he even go there? Is it something he even cares about? To me, he's a life coach.
Yeah, he's a motivational speaker.
Right.
And for me, when I think about what he does, what he represents, then I think who's he teaching? What's going on with him? You know, to the point where I think that it's not wrong or heresy if he's not even preaching the truth of the gospel.
Right.
Yeah, here's where you can get into where it does become heresy with a lot of these prosperity gospel preachers, where that is the gospel. Becoming rich or becoming successful is the good news. And that's what Jesus Christ purchased for you. And they diminish the salvific work of Jesus Christ, the atoning work of him redeeming us from our sins and things like that. When they present to you a gospel of riches and wealth and prosperity, then I think we can say maybe they are getting into some heresy there. Let me just read a text. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I mean, here we have teachers that are coming and they have deceptive motives. They want to draw people away from the faith. And this is where we can get into that area of, do some of these prosperity teachers have deceptive motives? And I will say yes. I think some of them do. I think some of them are in it for the money and to fleece people and to, just kind of get over on them. They're being used by Satan. And they can say that they're orthodox all they want, but they're messengers from Satan. And they're doing like this text says here. They're turning away people from listening to the truth. And the people they're getting people to wander off into myths.
Yeah.
I think God is going to hold them accountable for that.
I find that very interesting that you would look at it that way, Pastor Chris, because a lot of times we don't want to. Here's the one thing that gets me about the conversation that we're having is that there's a lot of people that look to these people. Like you said, you read that scripture and it says people will heap up for themselves those teachers that will scratch their ears. They got itching ears. They want to hear these things that Joel Osteen has to say. These things that that look at Beth Moore's following. Right. Like Beth Moore has a big following. I would consider a false teacher, yet they would look and say they don't consider her to be a heretic. And how can we approach those people that are taken by a Joel Osteen, by a Beth Moore, and say, let's get back to orthodoxy. Right. Because when we have this conversation and we talk about the line between error and heresy, you call someone like Joel Osteen or Beth Moore a heretic, you will get some backlash.
Right.
And so that's the thing as pastors of men of God who want to bring people to Christ, we got to be careful. And that's the reason that we're doing this episode, right, is because we want to make sure people understand the way we see it, the way we view it. Right.
I think also, too, you know, we talk about that thin line between heresy and error. But I think that if we have a body of work and over time there's this cavalcade of error, where it's clear and present that they are denying the gospel through all their teaching, they are denying Christ, or at least trying to lower Christ to a man's level, which I would say that's denial of his personhood anyway. But if we have a stacked up sort of inquiry of error, and this is compiling, and they're not denying the error after being called out for it, I would say that's when they step out of just being a false teacher and they step into the heretic territory for me, because now you have a clear compilation of evidence that is piled up so high that you are denying Christ, you are denying his gospel, and you are falsely teaching his people. You're leading his people astray. So I can clearly, with all confidence, call you a heretic at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to complicate things, guys, let me throw something else in here. Also, those things that we strongly disagree with, that we have to be careful with throwing the heresy out. We're Calvinists, you know, and there's a lot of Arminians that we really don't agree with in their soteriology. And, you know, we have a hard time listening to. And sometimes, like Jimmy said earlier, we want to use the H word. You know what I mean? But, you know, we got to be careful. You know what I mean? And there's things that, and these are some things that are like, man, what if we're reading the text wrong? You know what I mean? Let me just throw one out. I don't think Calvinism is reading it wrong, by the way, but let me just throw another one out that might be a little bit different. What about, you know, somebody that holds to theonomy, right? So like what are we going to do with that? I mean, are we going to call them a heretic? Are they going to call us a heretic if we don't believe in theonomy and so forth? Yeah. So I think that there's also those other issues that we got to flesh out.
You know, it's funny you say that because, we went out to evangelize the other night, and a man and his wife came up to me toward the end of the night and asked us what we were doing, right? And immediately, started to try to witness to him. And he told me, I'm a Christian, right? And I love that y'all are out here evangelizing. I love that you're doing this. I had a really good conversation, and the guy wanted to pray for me, right? And so I'm like, he wanted to pray for us. He wanted to pray for the group and just, and as he was going through his prayer, I said, yeah, sure. I would love for that. Now, our conversation had been really good up to that point. I'm not saying the prayer was bad. I'm just saying that you could tell it was Arminian in its context of how he was saying, if we will just do this, God, I know that you'll do this in return. And in my thought process was, God's going to do what he's going to do regardless of what I do, right? God is going to do what pleases him. And right. I think this is a Calvinist perspective. It's not an Arminian perspective. And so when I turned around and, you looked at me, Pastor Chris, and said, what was that about? And I said, well, the guy just wanted to pray for us. He was a Christian. And he said, how did that go? I said, a little bit Arminian. But I mean, I'm not calling the guy a heretic, right? I mean, I'm not calling the guy a heretic. I'm just saying that when you said just a minute ago, we listen to some of the language that they have and we think to ourselves, it's a little bit of an error.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a little uncomfortable for us. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's a little uncomfortable for us sometimes when we hear Arminian talk.
And it's interesting, but I wouldn't, that guy right there, I saw his heart that night, and I wouldn't call him not a Christian. I would just say that, I look at things different from that perspective of it's like you are the one leading God in some kind of way when it's completely the other way around. And this is the thing that that can dance on that line to where I say you're viewing God in a certain way. If you've got the wrong God, then you're definitely a heretic, right? But that's that I would say is something I came from, right? I used to think that way, and to come from my Arminian thinking to my Reformed thinking was a process. It was a journey, and it took some time. So I don't want to discard the guy right off the bat and tell him, well, you can't pray like that because that's a heresy in my book, and you need to be more Calvinist. Yeah. What's he going to tell me?
But it's sad because I've seen some Calvinists act like that though.
Absolutely, and. Yeah, I mean, there is definitely, and that's why I love that we're having this conversation, because let's not, sort of make the Calvinist side look like it's all sort of roses and flowers. There is a Reformed culture. I'll say Reformed culture, not Calvinist, but I'll say there is a Reformed culture where it's almost like the there's an air of arrogance there, right? So I have the truth. I have the studied way. Therefore, you are sort of beneath. You're in Aaron. I mean, I've had pastors. I've had pastors. Literally approach me and ask me, "What am I reading?" You know what I'm saying? Like they literally asked me that. So there is this Reformed culture that's out there, and I've seen it in Facebook and Twitter, where we'll just flippantly use the word heretic. We'll just fly off the handle. Oh, you're a heretic. We have no idea about this brother's ministry. We have no idea, if this sister is serving the Lord with her children. She or he may have a different position theologically, but that does not mean that they are a heretic. Post haste, so we really need to be very, very careful with that. But one thing that I wanted to add to Jimmy's statement was, I can still evangelize with an Arminian, right? But but I often tell my Arminian friends, like, if the question of the Garden Eden and the tree of knowledge and evil, good and evil, comes up, let me handle it, bro, because your theology can provide no answer if the atheist says, but God knew that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was going to be in the garden. Why did he put it there?
Right.
And you see people like William Lane Craig, they will talk all around the entire question and they'll never actually answer the question and they'll get thunderous applause. But I'm like, the atheist is right. He didn't answer the question,
Yeah, dance around the question, don't answer it. And I almost apologize for God sometimes.
Right. That's absolutely.
Yeah.
But just to add to what both of you guys are saying really quick, I know, you know, like Jimmy, you were talking about how you were not there once, you know, and you had to learn these things. Pastor Andy, you said there's just some people that just disagree with us and they don't see things, certain texts the same way. In the Bible, you guys know the story, Apollos, you know, and let me just read from Acts 18:24 through 26. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So, you know, there's going to be Apollos out there that affirm all the doctrines that we want them to affirm or that they need to affirm for orthodoxy, but, you know, are just going to be in error in certain points. And it's not because they're trying to be deceptive or trying to, be used by the enemy or by any means. It's just that maybe they just haven't been taught yet. So yeah. I think there's an error of grace that we need to show with the people that disagree with us on certain doctrines.
So let me ask you, Pastor Kristen, that was good. I'm glad you took us to those passages, and we can spend our lives. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to spend our lives making disciples of men and bringing them into a right knowledge of who God is. And I think that's what we're trying to do with Solacast. And one of the things that I look at, and I think about, and I told you before we even started this, that we could play the error versus heresy game. And I could throw it out there and ask you guys the question. You know, you guys are the pastors. I'm the lay guy, the layman over here, the layman over here that is just, you're kind of asking the questions. But a few questions just to ask. So from the perspective of the Jehovah's Witness, seeing the Holy Spirit as a force, error or heresy?
I say heresy.
Yeah, I would definitely say heresy. I mean, because the Holy Spirit is God, and the text shows that he is God from the beginning to the New Testament. He's God. And if you deny any part of who God is, you're denying him, because they and their unique persons are all one. So you deny God.
From a Church of God in Christ standpoint, because I've been to a Church of God in Christ. I don't know if they're all like this, but I read their statement of faith. You must be baptized to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Error or heresy?
I would say heresy. Yeah, because you're denying the way to the Father. Jesus Christ says he's the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. And by saying that you go to the Father through baptism, that's another gospel.
Amen. Not only that, but you're also denying plain scripture, you know.
So Acts 15, the Pharisees, these guys need to be circumcised. Error or heresy?
Well, I would say in the same vein, you know, I think Paul dealt with that problem in the whole, well, pretty much the first six chapters of the book of Galatians. I mean, oh, foolish Galatians, who has betrayed you? You know, started out in the spirit, but you have reverted back to the flesh, namely circumcision, right? It was a big contention, you know, with those Jews. And, you know, he makes it very, very plain in scripture. Apostolic doctrine says no one needs to be circumcised to be saved or to be in the household of faith. I would say heresy.
Can I throw one out?
Sure.
All right, because we forgot to mention this guy's name in the modalism episode. T.D. Jakes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Heresy. He's a oneness. He's a oneness guy.
Is he?
I don't think people know that about him, but
since the Elephant Room, which is like a show, or I guess it was a podcast that they recorded, he says that he has moved, but he's, and I really hate using these terms because I don't think that he preaches, but he has preached sermons that have affirmed his old way. Right. So I don't know if he's actually moved or not. Every time somebody recently asks him a question, he sort of dodges it and doesn't really fully answer it. And he hasn't addressed it since then. But he's one of those people where I can say that we have a litany of time and a catalog of error that I would definitely put T.D. Jakes in the heretic category. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, it's not just the oneness thing. And I think Pastor Henry's right about that. He's been long enough in his ministry that you can see that he's not wanting people to, you know, he's wanting the prosperity and the fame and the things that come with that. And, you know, he's got a disciple in Stephen Furtick, and he's taking him down that same path.
Yeah.
Furtick is a T.D. Jakes disciple, and he's going down.
Well, I believe Furtick was going down that pathway anyway. T.D. Jakes just kind of help the process.
You know, it's funny because according to what I've read, Furtick went to Master's Seminary.
Yeah.
And we would think that anybody that graduates from the Master's Seminary.
It
was Southern Baptist. Southern.
Yeah. So, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was wrong about that. Thanks for correcting me on that. Thanks for correcting my.
Don't put him on my school, bro. I don't
want to. thanks for correcting my error.
Your error. Yeah. So,
all right. I got a couple more for you guys. All right. And then, we'll do what we do, right? But here's the deal. Black Hebrew Israelites, it's the color of your skin that gets you in.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're brown or if you're black, you come from that line.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that's definitely heresy. Although, I would say, and this is the danger, like, you know, Pastor Chris kind of alluded to earlier, there are Hebrew Israelites, there are Black Hebrew Israelites, particularly in the One West camps. They're very, very cultish, and they do not allow their members sometimes to really give an answer or really have an avenue to question and go against what the leaders actually say. If they do, they label you a heretic, and you probably are going to be excommunicated from that particular group. Down the street from my grandmother, there's a sect of Hebrew Israelites called One Body in Yahawashah in Oak Cliff, and I've had a couple conversations with a couple people that go there. I don't know if they still do go there. This was a couple years ago. But every time we've had a conversation, it's very, very similar to like a Jehovah's Witness conversation. When I showed them in plain scripture things like the deity of Christ, which I personally have never met a Hebrew Israelite that affirms the deity of Christ or affirms that Christ is God in the flesh, right? Even though scripture says it plainly. So I would definitely put them in the heretic category, because again, if we start putting people like that in the kingdom of God, you know, and this is going to be a little bit controversial, but we may have to do a full podcast about this. But, you know, when you have somebody like Martin Luther King Jr., right, you know, we say he's a Christian minister, everything else, but he denied the birth of Christ. Well, he denied the virgin birth. He denied Christ's deity, and he denied that Christ was doing the supernatural works of God. He sort of put him in an elevated position, almost like a super Gandhi or like a higher elevated prophet teacher or whatever. So right. I would say he'd be in the same category. And if we start taking people in like that in those categories and then putting them in the kingdom of heaven, then everybody's got to come in. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody.
Good. Okay, one last one from me, and then you guys can do what you can do, right? And you'll be surprised at this one. I believe the earth is flat. Am I a heretic or am I in error?
What do you mean, bro? The earth is flat.
We got Pastor Chris. Watch out. You're gonna lose subscribers, man. Come on now.
This one just depends on what they believe, how far they take it. I mean, if they believe the earth is flat and just kind of a side belief that they hold to, they're not so engulfed in it, maybe a grave error. But if they believe that you have to believe the earth is flat to be a Christian, then absolutely it's heresy. Yeah.
So, and I'll give you this, because I did see this in a post on Facebook where it was Christians talking, you know, those discussion groups that they have, you know, they go through and they ask these questions. This guy posted this one thing that said, "You'll never understand this." And he puts a picture of the Bible until you understand this. And he puts a picture of the flat earth.
Right.
And to me, I said, well, hold on. See, now that's we can make the distinction that he's not saying it's salvific. But he's also saying you're never going to understand the scriptures, which is it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into all knowledge of the truth that's in the Bible.
Amen.
Jesus said that when he would send his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that would lead us and guide us into all truth. When I look at something like that, see, I'm looking at that guy and saying, hold on a second. You have just put the flat earth in the place of the Holy Spirit, and I've got a problem with that. I would call that heresy, right? Now, if he wants to believe the earth is flat on his own, like you said, Pastor Chris, because I'll be honest with you, I've never been to outer space to look back, right, to see what it is. But I have seen the shadow of the earth on the moon, and I'm kind of convinced that way, right, just by like looking at the moon and seeing the shadow and seeing the curvature of the earth. That kind of convinces me. But I've never actually been to outer space, so I'm not going to sit here and say for definitive that's you can believe the earth is a triangle. What do I care, right? Just don't tell me that I can't understand the Bible because the earth is flat.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me, right? Especially when I read the words of Jesus Christ, who said, it's the Holy Spirit that will lead you into all truth. Right. Right.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just have one last thought, and then maybe you guys can share one last thought about this subject. It's about how we approach, you know, these heretics, false teachers, and so forth, because there's kind of some disagreement here. There's some people that say we should just pretty much never say anything, never call out names, never use people's names, and so forth. And then you have, I guess, on the other extreme, you have, you know, those that call everybody a heretic, right? So I think we as believers, I think that we do have a right to call out, especially like you guys said, these preachers that have, you know, a body of work. They have a public ministry of teaching falsely. I think we do have a right to call them out for their false teaching. You saw Paul do it, you know, in the New Testament. You saw him name names in the New Testament. So I think that we do have a right to do that. But on the other hand, I do think that we need to show a little grace for those who are maybe, you know, students of some of these false teachers. They've never heard anything different. Again, like Jimmy said earlier, we were once there, you know what I mean? And we were once listening to these teachers. So I think we got to handle, you know, certain people differently. You know, obviously those ones that have a body of work teaching falsely, I don't see anything wrong with calling them out. I mean, these pastors and teachers are going to be judged more harshly than everybody else. And us calling them out is a way that display their judgment, right? So I see nothing wrong with calling them out. But at the other hand, I think calling all those that do, you know what I mean, talk in a certain way that we don't agree with, I think we got to, you know, maybe show a little grace here and there with those who have not, you know, come to the truth.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that. I think that our posture should change based upon who we are referring to or who we're calling out or who we're referencing, right? So if there's we talked about it earlier, if there's somebody going to a Oneness Pentecostal church and that's all they've known since they were a little kid, and they're trying to come into the knowledge of the truth, and you're guiding them through scripture, I wouldn't label that person a heretic and completely shun them and, right, you know, tell them to go, you know, go away. You know, I would help guide that person into the truth. And that's anybody in any type of heretical religious belief, right? But I think that the perfect example of this is Jesus. You know, when Jesus sort of referred to the woman at the well, when he sort of interacted with the people who were halt, lame, blind, these people didn't have perfect theology. They didn't even, you know, they just knew that Jesus was kind of who he was. Even the man that says, you know, Lord, I know you can do it, but help my unbelief. You know, this is a guy that didn't even believe, like he was halfway believing, and Jesus had so much compassion. But right, look at Jesus's posture when he talks to the Pharisees.
Right.
He doesn't say, ye of little faith. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. I mean, strong language, right? So I think that we should, I mean, God has given us enough knowledge to be able to understand what our posture should be, whether it should be one of force and one of calling out heresy directly and doing it sharply and rebuking them, or whether it should be one of grace and compassion.
I think to add to that is that one of the issues that we're going to find with people that are disciples of what we would consider false teachers, heretics, those kind of things, is that as we go through, and I think you can find sincere born again Christians that are actually following a guy on TBN for some odd reason, right? Now, that was me early on. I thought, you know, TBN was one of those great, you know, networks that was going to teach me some things. You know, it wasn't until they put on The Way of the Master on TBN that I actually did learn something. But the point I'm trying to make is that I don't think I wasn't not a Christian.
Yeah.
I was born again. Something had happened. Right. The Lord had opened my eyes. I was reading my Bible, but I was watching TVN, and yeah, I was getting led away by Jesse Duplantis and all his visions and things like this, you know. And I would call Jesse Duplantis a heretic.
Yeah.
Right. Because of his body of work, his body that, you know. But here's the thing. Those people that are following Jesse Duplantis, what do I do with them? Right. I want to have the compassion, the grace to say, let me have a little patience here, because I understand where they come from. I understand I was there once. So what can I do? Can I come alongside them? Can we study the Bible together and learn and grow in that way? Definitely, for sure. People need to mature. And I do believe that there are born-again believers out there following after maybe Joel Osteen or something like that.
Right.
And I wouldn't attack their teacher, because I'm never going to win them that way. What I would want to do is bring them to sound doctrine. I would want to bring them to the knowledge of what the Bible actually teaches. I would want to teach them about sola scriptura and go from there.
Yeah.
Right? Because that is our authority. And if we're to read the Bible the way that God has laid it out for us and look at it from the right standpoint, then we'll get there one day. Okay, and I just got to be patient in that area. That would be my final thought about this whole thing. It's important for us to not just go crazy calling everybody a heretic. We have today some people, but I mean those people that follow them. We got to have compassion. We got to have some mercy and some grace, and we got to come at that with an evangelistic mindset. How can I win them to the right way of thinking, to an orthodox way of living? Orthodoxy leads to orthopraxy. Right thinking leads to right living. And so it's something that we got to consider.
Absolutely. If you guys out there in the audience have any questions, any pushback, anything you'd like to add to the conversation, make sure you shoot us a message. You can find us online at www.thesolacast.com, or you can find us on our social media pages. You can go to Facebook, search the search bar there, and search Solacast. Like the page, share the page. You can also find us on Instagram at thesolacast, and on Twitter at @Sola_cast. And you guys are at?
I'm at Los Jimmy.
I'm at Knox Broadcast, also on Parlor.
I fixed it on Parlor, by the way. It's at
Los Jimmy now.
So
there you go.
So we're good. Sure.
I'm at C. Hernandez 214, also on Parlor. Also, if you're in the Dallas area. Oh, one more thing about Solacast. Jimmy, what's the name of the new network we're on, man? You know, we got
Redeemed Project Radio.
Yeah,
Redeemed Project Radio.
Yeah, you guys go check them out. Give them a shout. Give them a look. They got a 24-hour radio station, man. They got different stuff going on. Yeah,
it's interesting. It's a streaming website that is always playing good content aimed at the urban audiences, which is what we started with, right? Our Ecclesia is set in West Dallas, which is kind of an urban community, and that's our whole thing, is to try to reach the urban community with the real truth of the gospel, and so that's one of those. It's aimed at that. Those guys are in California, so to them it's 12 Pacific Standard Time. But to us, I think that would be, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesdays. They would play Solacast.
Yeah.
And so
playing some of the Ecclesia sermons on there, too. So, yeah, y'all go check those brothers out. Also, the Bar Network, shout out to Dwayne and everybody out there. We got some podcast shows also on the network.
Absolutely. Yeah, please go check it out, man. Shout out to Dwayne. He's a good guy.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're in the Dallas area, make sure you find us online, www.ecclesiachurch.org. Come visit us every Sunday morning, 10 a.m., 3232 Bataan Street, Dallas, Texas, 75212. Anyway, until next time.
Let's get to the meat.
Yes, sir.
Do it.
Okay. I just made this beat right now. I'm MC Goya. Okay, listen. I'm on the ground like El Chapo, in a tunnel, eating about 12 tacos. I'll put you in a box like a gato, punchline stay in my mouth like Mr. Sacco. Jay thinks he runs Christian hip-hop, he wears white socks when he wears his flip-flops. And he looks like Shug Knight, I put him in a chokehold and say goodnight. It's not music but clothes that he started, I can find better shirts in a flea market. Okay, Google, who's the best rapper? Goya, rapping grace is full of slackers.